not interested in killing innocents, while the Palestinians are just the opposite. They are mostly interested in wreaking havoc and terror amongst non-combatants. Then I don't have to negotiate in good faith with those people. I have to retaliate. If you want to call it an eye for an eye, call it an eye for an eye. All I want to call it is making sure that the people of Israel are safe and secure.
I hate settlers, really. They are the core of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And they are the most extremist people of Israel. I never tried to be in touch with the settler. Whenever they know that I'm a Palestinian or Muslim, they hate me and do not want to talk to me.
I'm Matt Gutman, and for today's Heart and Soul for the BBC World Service, I'm exploring whether there's any common ground between two groups who are so bitterly opposed in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. As the State of Israel reaches its 60th year, a small interfaith encounter group is attempting to bring together, for the first time, Arabs from the West Bank with Jewish settlers to talk about religion. I'll be meeting Gidon and Majdi as they prepare for this meeting, and then joining them as they meet the other.
With all the prejudices and all the negative stereotypes that we have towards the other, we have also a lot of curiosity towards the other, because we live side by side and we see each other every time. So there's also curiosity, and people sometimes take this unique chance of meeting the other as a human being, not needing to fight with him.
I've had to come through several metal detectors and bag searches just to get into this spanking new shopping mall in the settlement of Ma'ale Adumim, just a few minutes' drive from Jerusalem. I've come to meet Gidon, an Orthodox Jew. You want a coffee?
Yeah.
Cappuccino gadol, bakasha. Get some water also.
I was born in Queens, New York, and I went to a Jewish day school, and then I went to a Jewish Zionist youth movement. So actually, by about eighth grade, I was really gung-ho Zionist. And then by ninth grade, I decided that I would come and finish high school in Israel on my own. My parents stayed in New York. So I've been here now for almost 30 years. And I got married about 10 years ago. Thank God we have five kids and a big, happy family.
Okay, stop right here and take a look right there. That's what we got. And you can see that it's just right after it, it's the desert.
Gidon shows me around the vast and growing city of Ma'ale Adumim. Palestinians may consider this an illegal settlement, as it spans several hilltops in the West Bank. But for Gidon, it's home.
The city of Ma'ale Adumim started out as a community of 26 families on a small hilltop about 2 miles away from here. But these 25 families wanted to live near Jerusalem and in the desert. So when I came to the yeshiva, we were still in that hilltop with, by that time, about 50 families. By 1987, there were about 500. And today, there are about 7,300 families in Ma'ale Adumim, 36,000 residents. Ma'ale Adumim is named for the location mentioned in the book of Joshua, chapter 18. But if you would have asked me, even though I'm a religious believer in the Bible, I think that what you should have called this city is Perach Bamidbar, a flower in the desert. Because that's really what we have here.
Sixty miles away in the Palestinian city of Jenin, I'm meeting Majdi. We climb the three flights to his new apartment, which he shares with his siblings and parents. The family home a few miles away was destroyed by the Israeli army because Palestinian snipers were using it as a base to fire on nearby settlements. For Majdi, life in Jenin isn't easy.
The place where I'm living in Jenin is it's a very small town. And there's only a few places that I can go. And even the city is dangerous because the Israelis can come into the city anytime they like to do whatever they want to do. A lot of guys or kids were throwing stones and Molotov bombs on the jeeps. And it's the most active neighborhood in the city. and they were fighting against the occupation. And a lot of houses in the neighborhood were destroyed because of that. I want to live a normal life that, like other my Israeli colleagues. I want to live like any other human on this earth. I have nothing here. I'm always surrounded by checkpoints, by the fences, and I can't move from one city to the other. It's very difficult for me.
How are you?
It's playtime at the local school where Majdi teaches science. He's glad to be back at work after spending nearly 2 years recuperating from cancer. Part of his treatment was in an Israeli hospital in 2006, an experience that has changed the way he thinks not only about his own life, but about the lives around him.
Maybe God gave me cancer, maybe, for wisdom. This is my life that is given by God to me, and I have to accept this life as it is.
So what was it like being in the Israeli hospital?
It was good. At least in the hospital, they don't like deal with you as a Palestinian. They deal with you as a patient, not based on his ethnic group or his religion. And it's really inspiring. They inspire me to deal with the Israelis the same way. I always want to make it up for them, not by war, not fighting against the army and the Israelis, but to understand what's going on and what they want, what really want. I do really understand that this is wrong. The bombings by the Palestinians inside Israel and also the killings by the Israeli army in the West Bank.
Gidon, too, came to realize that there must be another way to live when he got a lift one day from a right-wing politician in the Likud party.
Once I got a ride with a member of Knesset in Likud, and there he was on the phone with an Arab from a different country or from a very far left-wing politician, and they were discussing doing stuff. And I said, wow, I thought this guy was Likud. And then I realized, yeah, he's Likud, and he's trying to do stuff. And that's something that, I mean, that was about 3 or 4, maybe 5 years ago. And that maybe was the penny dropping as far as me. I'm keeping my political position, but I think that things have to be done as well.
You know what? This isn't the only way that it has to be. This killing and thinking that all Arabs are bad, it doesn't have to be that way.
Both Gidon and Majdi have agreed to join the Interfaith Encounter Group, which every month holds meetings to talk about religion. Its director, Yehuda Stolov, believes just sitting the two of them down in a room is a huge step.
I believe that right now it's maybe the only group that exists in the whole of the Holy Land that involves settlers and Palestinians. And more than that, they sit together and they do not talk about the everyday issues. They focus on building the relations that will ensure a different future, not quarrel about who is to blame for their present and the past. And this is extremely, extremely unique. And of course, many of them have never met the other, and even the Palestinians who met Israelis before have never met settlers before.
But it's difficult to see how the two can find common ground. Each is entrenched in his own ideas about the settlements, about the future of the Palestinians, and the division of this land.
Well, this is our land. It's not their land. They have 22 Arab states. We have one God-promised land, says so in the Bible. Shechem is the Hebrew word for Nablus. Hebron, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are buried. And the Temple Mount are all mentioned in the Bible as places that were purchased by the forefathers of Israel. Maale Edomim is not going to be moved. Nobody can expect it to be moved. We are not, I want to clarify, that we are not an illegal settlement.
At least leave us the West Bank. At least. I just want Israelis to leave the West Bank. Nothing else. I don't like killing civilians.
Do you consider settlers civilians or military?
I consider them military more than civilians. Because they are dangerous and they always armed with automatic weapons.
And so you're going to meet these people?
Yes. I want to meet the settlers. the idea is to transferring the message to the settlers that I want you to be in Israel, not in the West Bank. And this place is illegal.
Do you tell your friends?
No, this time no. They know that I said a civilian Israelis, but this is the first time for me to meet Israeli settlers.
Would your friends think that you're a traitor for talking to the settlers in a settlement?
Not exactly, but they are thinking that I'm crazy. Crazy thing to meet settlers in a settlement. And the settlers are the most people who hate the Muslims and the Palestinians because they are living on their land. And they know it. They know that they are living on our land. And the settlers do not want to listen to the other side. I'm going to meet them in Mele Dimeim, in a settlement, to tell him that I'm here and I want you to hear me.
Shalom. Is that Akiva?
Shalom, Akiva.
There's Maria, you remember her. And here's Shirarina.
At Gidon's home, he's looking uneasy. I'm under strict instructions not to talk about the encounter.
So, welcome. Matt's got to go. He can only stay for 2 minutes.
Okay. What does your family think about this? Your wife, friends? Do they know that you're involved in this?
Not yet.
They don't know?
They don't know that I'm involved with it. In fact, my wife, she was much more right-wing. At this point, I didn't want to say, hey, Deborah, I've got an opportunity to go talk with Arabs. I'm going. You don't have to tell a lie, but you don't have to tell the whole truth all the time. This will be broadcast on Saturday, right? My wife won't hear it, right? Some of the people that I socialize with are also less dialogue with Arabs inclined.
So yeah. What's the point in talking?
We don't have to talk in sound bites. We can really hear what somebody else thinks. Then we at least can say, wait a second, we're not going to let the Al Jazeera and BBC talk for us. I don't know that I'm going to say, you know what? I've already met a dozen Arabs that we see eye to eye on certain thing. Peace is at hand. Come on.
You're listening to Heart and Soul for the BBC World Service, where I'm exploring whether it's possible for two people, vehemently opposed politically, to find any common ground. Neither Guido nor Majdi have felt brave enough to tell their own families or friends about the upcoming meeting.
Okay.
So you're not worried about the checkpoint?
No, it's okay. They are just looking at it, checking out.
On the evening of the encounter, I pick up Majdi outside the Ma'ale Adumim checkpoint. This is a settlement he believes shouldn't exist, and it's a place where he's technically not allowed to go.
We're fine.
Good.
I'm actually worried because my permission is only to Jerusalem, to Hadassah. It's not to Ma'ale Adumim.
Does it actually say on it, only to Hadassah?
Yes. Do you know the house?
I think I have, that's... Oh. Direction somewhere.
Oh, this is nice.
What were you looking at?
Just two girls. You never see kind of like girls, what you mean.
It's not what I think of when I think of a settlement. It's pretty big and built up. Look how beautiful these flowers are by the side of the road.
It's, what can I say? It's beautiful for me.
It's painful for you?
Yes.
Why?
I see all this beauty and flowers and everything. And they are settlers. They are having something there that doesn't belong to them.
Yeah, but
if you go to Jenin, you are a citizen of Jenin. You are a Palestinian. You own this. This is your land, but you are living as if it's not for you. This is really insane.
So
this is what I hate about the Palestinian community. They don't care
about their land.
Yes.
I mean, they love their land, but they're not willing to.
If you love it, you have to clean it.
Yeah.
You have to keep it clean and green.
Look at this.
Really, this is fantastic.
Beautiful.
You are living in the in heaven.
Hi, Leah. Hi.
How are you? Come in.
Yalla, go man. Yoda.
A nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
How are you?
As the meeting gets underway, the three Jews, three Muslims, and a couple of Christians have all come armed with information about how their own religions view health.
Seeds originates from common fennel flower. Mm. We actually use it as a medicine in Islam.
So is that a law or a tradition?
It's tradition because of it was mentioned in the Quran. And
we spoke about the Quran, the Gospels, and the Bible. The Torah, which is the teaching and the learning of Jewish sources. And, why don't I give out these sheets that I prepared?
These discussions get people talking and thinking about something other than the political crisis.
Imagine when people come for the first time, Israelis who have never met Palestinians, Palestinians who have never met Israelis, and they go immediately to the hot issues. How much conversation you can expect to happen? Will they even listen to each other? Especially when you build the relations, it's very unhelpful to talk about the conflict issues. You first build the conversation, and when people have good relations with each other, even if, officially in our organization, we don't talk about the conflict. But of course people do. But you can see that if they do that after they have some kind of relationship, the whole conversation is changed completely, dramatically. Because when someone talks about what he has to say to the other, he does not, blame the other. You are doing this to us. He talks about his own experience, which is completely different, and then the other can listen with sympathy.
So let's talk now, 20 minutes break, then we will discuss the next meeting plan.
I'm beginning to learn about the other religions, how they think. It's interesting to find many things in common about health and spirit and stuff like that. But even the food.
Especially the food. The organizers, it's very easy to find topics that aren't especially controversial. And by talking about things that aren't especially controversial, we learn to see each other as people, as just like, everybody says, just like me. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the differences between us are erased, but it's easier to discuss them.
We are discussing the health and religion. It's the same as if we are what a religion.
It's very good that we're able to focus on those things that bring us together.
I'm doing this today because I want to learn not only about my own religion, but also about yours. And there's really so much hate from both sides. Because we believe that settlers are living on a land that doesn't belong to them. So it's challenging for me to be here today and to talk, chatting different issues. I think none of the Palestinians had a meeting with a settler in a settlement, as we are. Not enemies, but as friends. Mm-hmm. This is the difference. It's a big difference. And as Palestinian, it's a scary thing to be in a settlement.
But is it really scary here for you? Obviously, there are some people who hate. We know that people hate all the time, and we're trying to stop that. But I think that you'd be surprised.
It's really amazing to sit with you and talk. For me, I want to tell you something that I don't mind to talk to a settler or make friends.
I see.
Yes, but you have to know that the settlers and the army destroyed my house, my dream life. Mm-hmm. I lost everything because of that. Because of what? Because it's located near the settlement around.
Which settlement?
It's Ganim, near Janine.
And now it doesn't exist either. So
thanks, guys.
So everything. So in other words, your house was destroyed. Ganim was destroyed.
So because they destroyed the house, for myself, doesn't mean that I hate.
Very nice.
See, it's. I told you, it's challenging for me to do this and to sit here to talk.
I don't differentiate between settlers or Israelis who live in Tel Aviv or in Beersheba. When they hear about Palestinian terrorists, then it's hard for them to say, well, there are Palestinian terrorists and there are Palestinian anti-terrorists. All Jewish community, Israeli community, and all peace-loving people, are pained when a terrorist kills a child for no reason other than that... They were just sitting there and an easy target.
It's also on the Palestinian side. Every day, many people killed.
Ultimately, we claim that it is the terror which is the root of all evil. And if you claim that, no, the terror is a response to the immoral settlement, okay. So I think that we can stop there and disagree, if that's what you if that's what you're saying. Maybe I'm putting words in your mouth.
I mean, you're talking about the tourists, the Palestinian terrorists?
I'm talking about the terrorists who have killed over 1,000 people in Israel and throughout the world.
By bombs and stuff?
Sorry, by bombs? This is what you mean. Bombs, shooting, stabbing.
Yes, I consider that terrorism, really. Yes. There is a difference between the fighters who fight against the army inside the West Bank and those who go to make explosions inside the Israeli cities. This is wrong to do.
I'm glad to hear that you come out against that.
And
you know, it's interesting. You guys basically talked about the toughest issues just now. And we're both still standing. Everybody's still sitting here. Nobody's leapt out of their chair. So, I mean, maybe it is possible to talk about certain political issues.
Yeah, okay, we can talk, but is that going to solve anything? Let's say that I even change my mind and I become a left-wing anti-settlement. Is that going to make the settlements disappear? Well, I'll move out of my house.
No, it's a policy.
It's a policy.
Hey, Majdi, I want you to tell me, what did you think of that talk you had with Gidon?
I was scared.
You were scared?
Yes.
Why?
I never talked to a settler, man. The first time in my life. Today we are, as you know, we came to talk about religious issues, not about politics.
Right, so, but your goal, and his goal too, by the way, was to learn more about the other people politically, not just religiously.
Well, part of today.
Do you feel like if you guys meet again, you could keep talking, keep that dialogue going?
Yes, I guess so. Everyone has different point of view, but we'll try to find something in common that we can share between us.
Do you think you found it?
No. I think I found it when talking to about religion.
Majdi makes it back safely to Jenin, and a couple of days later, I catch up with Gidon to ask him what he thought of Majdi.
He had a very nice and genuine-looking smile.
Huh.
I mean, I don't know if I would go to his dentist, but
you like this smile. You like the way his manner towards you.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Certainly, somebody from Jenin who probably knows a potential terrorist personally... is somebody that if you want a dialogue, you got a dialogue, and not talk about politics, obviously. And if you want to do something, then you're going to need to have a relationship that's built, and that'll take a long time.
But you guys did talk a little bit about politics. That seemed to work decently. Nobody jumped at each other's throats.
So I can dialogue, but to say from here, now we can go and do something together outside this framework that will make a difference somewhere. It'll take a while.
I mean,
give us a chance.
Would that ever be possible?
I think it's possible. Sure, it's possible. When we'll go to Abu Dis, maybe even to Jenin, I'll be happy to do such an adventure. But to say I'm optimistic that I already know what the end game is, that we're going to get somewhere before it disintegrates, I can't say.
For Heart and Soul for the BBC World Service, I followed Majdi and Gidon as they've prepared themselves for and then taken part in an encounter meeting. There were times that evening when everyone was laughing and joking, especially after Majdi's rambling lesson on health in Islam. And then it seemed the most natural thing in the world that these people should meet, chat about religion, drink tea together. Majdi and Gidon don't expect to change the world through their talks, don't even expect or want to change their own political views. But in a country where encounters like this simply don't happen, this is a start.
It's easy to be in the mold of hatred. It's easy to be in the mold of we've always done things this way. But how are you going to have a world that continues
and grows and moves towards its ultimate redemption unless people break those molds. I'm not in this in order to get to any specific political goal. I'm in this to just know the other and to have the other know their other, which is me.
I miss a lot of things in my life. I'm still single, sick with cancer, no wife, no life, no money, nothing. But I want to do something for myself, my religion, and my country. The least thing I can do is talking to the other side, to deliver the message that I'm a human, I'm living here, and you're talking to me because you like me.